Thanks, everybody, for the opportunity to be here and speak. So what I'm going to do is talk about the opportunities and gaps that we see at the Climate Corporation to science-driven insights in digital ag. How I'm going to do that, first I'm going to introduce myself. So this is actually my first opportunity to speak with this group, so I'll take a minute to introduce myself and my background. And then we'll go through sort of what, Harold gave a great overview of what digital ag is and what we're aiming to do. And so I'll go through a little bit more of that. And then talk through some of the opportunities, some of the challenges, and then finish up. And so, for those who like to tweet, I'm on the Twitter, and so you can follow me there. Just myself, so a little bit about me. I like baseball, beer, and digital agriculture. Spent about a decade in St. Louis trolling Cardinals fans as a Cubs fan. Was able to get my kids to be Cubs fans growing up in St. Louis, which was fun as well. November of 2016 was one of my favorite times of year. It was a little bit rougher in October of 2017, but you know, the LCS 3 years in a row is okay. And so my background, I grew up in central Illinois, small farming town, Carlinville, Illinois. Went to U of I. I'm a plant physiologist by training, so it's fun to be here with the soil scientists and talk about that side of things. But I worked as a technician on the Soy Face Project, and that's looking at the impacts of climate change on agriculture. My PhD was actually looking at the physiology of biofuel species, miscanthus, switchgrass, corn, soybeans. I've worked on quite a bit as well. I joined Monsanto in 2009, working first to help deregulate the drought guard hybrids. And so Monsanto has the first and still only transgenic drought-tolerant product on the market, and I was able to help sort of understand the plant-level impacts of the drought guard system. I spent some time in the front end of the Monsanto pipeline leading what we call the crop physiology group. This image here represents 5 acres of root-dug corn, and so our team did a lot of the phenotyping work that happened within that group, and so this is a cool aerial image. If you're doing aerial imagery, you got to make sure you take out the part that gets root dug. And so within the past year, I've been at the Climate Corporation. I also am the president of the ASPB Ecological and Environmental Plant Physiology Section. And so sustainably intensifying agriculture is something that is important to me for a lot of reasons, and why I'm excited to be a part of the Climate Corporation and this whole digital ag revolution that Harold set up. And so the Climate Corporation's mission is to help world's farmers sustainably increase productivity with digital tools, right? And you know, Harold talked through the atmosphere, field, soil pieces of this that all need to come together in an easy-to-use digital application that can help farmers make their decisions better. And so why do this? And the individualization that Harold talked to was a little bit of this. And we've got this opportunity to narrow the yield gap, right? And so the yield contest winner in 2016 for corn averaged 521 bushels per acre. The USDA average in 2016 was 175, the biggest corn crop in the history of agriculture. But there's still a 350 bushel gap. I don't put this up here to say that digital agriculture is going to get every acre to 521 bushels per acre, but I put this up here to show that corn as a species has the genetic potential to get there. And the management, the genetics, the environment, the farming practices, and this error term that Peter talked so eloquently to, and that people who are new to ag tend to underestimate, are all part of what comes up to this yield equation. And so, you know, we've got the genetic potential to get here. Can we leverage the environment and farming practices to help boost that yield gap? And so this is a pretty picture, right? So this is a yield map of a specific farm. Those who have seen field view presentations have probably seen this farm many times. But this is a yield map where green is high yields, red is low yields, and yellow is in the middle. So one of the things that we've had a chance to do based on the data that we have is over 10 million acres in 3 years in 15 states, we just looked at what is that within field variability, right? So what we have here on the x-axis, is median field level yield from 100 to, you know, 400 bushels at the field level. And this is the median sort of field level variation, the 80th to 20th percentile yield. And so what you see when you look at this data, and the darker blue is fewer data points, the lighter blue is more data points, on average, the median yield of this was 225 bushels an acre, but there's a 50 bushel per acre spread on average within that. And so, you know, this variability is there. It's there in big data sets, and we have an opportunity to understand what's driving that variation and manage it differently. And so we have an opportunity to use the breadth and the diversity of data that we have to identify some of those interdependencies and understand which of those variables are driving yield. And so it's, you know, it's everything from fertility to seed to elevation, hydrology, you know, pest and disease threats, the soils, the imagery, the equipment. All of those are data layers that we can bring together and try to get towards solving that that yield equation that we have there. And so I'll talk a little bit about how we approach the science at the Climate Corporation. And so we have a robust research and development pipeline. I'm going to spend most of the session talking about that. And so it starts with field data ingestion. So we've got connected hardware, the Climate Field View CAB app, and then also third-party data and other data sets that can come in and can be ingested, cleaned, processed, gridded out into a spatial pattern. And then we can bring in the data science, analytics, deep learning, machine learning, artificial intelligence. And one of the things that Harold spoke to that I loved was that, you know, he's right. There are people who say, just throw AI at it and it's going to fix it, right? I don't believe that's the case. It's going to be this integration of all of these different sensors and modeling techniques to really get us there. And then the product uses is sort of a simple-to-use app that a grower can base decisions upon. And so one of the places that's really exciting to be working with at this area is the data that we have that can help enable that model testing and development. And so, you know, at the Climate Corporation, we're able to partner with Monsanto Research Trials, pull some of their data into that big data warehouse that we have. We also have specific research farms that have been invested in to really test these hypotheses at the field scale, like Peter talked about. But we also can bring in climate research partner data where we've got, you know, 40,000 acres per year of data coming in for some of these, you know, specific trials that we're testing. And then it's the farmer data. And so to date, we've got within the FieldView platform over 100 million acres mapped. Now, acres mapped does not necessarily mean acres with data in them, but we've got 100 million acres mapped and in the tens of millions of people who are paying for the tool and getting data in there. We don't just take this from our internal data, though. We source external data and emerging technologies. And so I'll talk about our platform structure that we've put in place in a little bit in more detail. But it's not just data that we collect and sensors that we develop, right? We envision that we'll be able to partner with folks across industry, academia, and retail partners to get where we need to go. And so we currently have a handful of platform partners that have been announced. Veris is a group that does a lot of soil mapping, and we can directly bring their data in. Agrobotics, Cirrus Imaging, and Terra Avion are all imaging companies that we've partnered with. We actually also have more than 40 university relationships, and that's actually my job, is to help manage those university relationships to get data that the academic community has and knows, and just leverage the expertise that's out there. And the FieldView Drive is, and the data collection side of this is something that's come a long way. This is actually our chief science officer, Sam Ethington. His dad still has bag tags on a nail in the shed as, you know, a data collection tool. It's moved, you know, in some cases to lots of different thumb drives. But what the drive does is enables every pass to matter. And as you have your sensored equipment going through the field, the FieldView Drive enables that to come into our platform so that it's all there in real time in the palm of your hand. And this is where we see the future of. And this, I think this speaks a little bit to, you know, the different things that impact agriculture, right? So yield insights and prediction. And so as we get all of this data in, you know, we run our G by E by P algorithms, and really help growers understand those primary drivers across the field, right? It's not going to always be nitrogen as the primary yield limiter across the field. It could be down pressure up here and you didn't have great seed soil contact, or you went too deep, or and didn't get great emergence, and there's ponding and late emergence and low stand and nitrogen deficiency are all examples of things that can limit yield. And really bringing that together, the seamless field data collection, the cloud-to-cloud field data transfer, and then those customized insights that enable decision-making and smart decision-making. But we're not there. There's still plenty of challenges that remain. And what are some of those that we see towards us being successful? One is just variability of rainfall. And so, we recently have upgraded our weather system to have sort of a modeled and measured spatial weather system that comes together. But what this shows on a research farm is, farmers, one of the things that can be religion to farmers is their rain gauge, right? It's my rain gauge or it's wrong. What we see, though, is that we put rain gauges at different locations across our network, and the variability across these locations can be pretty substantial, especially as you get to heavier rainfalls, right? And so being able to bring that rain gauge plus some of the spatial variability is something that we envision actually enhancing both what the farmer sees in the app in their weather, but also that weather data that underlies a lot of the modeling work that drives our fertility tools, our seeding scripts, et cetera, et cetera. Disease insights is another one that we see as a challenge right now, but one that we're working to overcome, is to help farmers address disease issues, where we can model out disease vulnerability, enhance and direct scouting, and then use artificial intelligence to actually diagnose what the problem might be in a field. And so if you come over to our booth in the convention center, we have a couple of demos just sort of working through some of these and how we're working on that. And so we also have a diverse set of imaging platforms that aim to uncover insights for growers. And so, we spoke and Harold talked to some of the trade-offs that you see between satellite imagery and drones, and the trade-offs are coverage versus resolution, right? And so, here's a Landsat where you can get 30-meter resolution twice a month in 9 bands. Here's the Deimos satellite where you can get 22-meter resolution twice a month with 3 bands, et cetera, right? And so we bring all of these different data types together to provide our imagery out to the grower. And with our platform partnerships with the companies Terra Avion and Ceres and others, we're able to bring together that satellite data plus some of the higher resolution drone and manned aerial imagery together as well. Another challenge is that nitrogen management is complex, right? There's a lot of different processes. There are a lot of different soil, plant, and weather processes that affect nitrogen. Go ahead and look up Moslem Ladani and Andrew McGowan if you want more detail on this, but they'll be giving some talks in a poster. Moslem will give a talk, I believe, tomorrow, and then Andrew's got a poster that talks about some of the work that we're doing to overcome this challenge of complexity. The other is deploying technologies to capture some of those high-def insights and enable new science insights. And so we've got sensors and imagery, on equipment, probes, connected fields, ground-based unmanned aerial, satellite manned aerial imaging. Samantha Knoll and Jordan Kusiak are going to give some talks later this week as well that get into a bit more of the detail of how we're working on this. Here's an example of a good UAV day. You've got really good coloration. You can see the plots. Everything looks great. But it's not always, it doesn't just show up like that, right? This is a bad day where the stitching didn't work right. And Mike Malone's going to talk through some of the sensor standardization work that we're working on to get sensors that can provide good data and have some of those good days even more frequently. So final points that I'd like to make, the platform expansion opportunities. And so this is what we're current set of products that we have. We have Field Health, Nitrogen, and Script Creator within our Field View products. Potential future product offerings that are in our research and development pipeline include marketing insight, harvest timing, phosphorus and potassium fertility, and then helping to manage the insects, weeds, and water management as well. And these are all being developed within Climate. But we're also partnering extensively with third parties to bring in different types of technologies to the Climate Field View platform. And so, you know, we feel that bringing together the work that we do with the work that the external folks do is something that will enable this to get even better, even faster. Another piece is that developing these innovative solutions requires a diverse workforce, right? And so one of the reasons I'm super excited to be at Climate is because I get to work with top-notch soil scientists, top-notch modelers, top-notch, you know, artificial intelligence folks. But it's also a challenge, right? We don't all speak the same language. And just really doing that work and trying to understand what each other does and where each other comes from is something that's going to become more and more important. You know, I love the Tri-Societies meeting because it brings together the soil scientists, the agronomists, and the crop scientists. And what we're doing here is just taking that to a whole nother level, in my opinion. And we're inventing the future. And so our research and development pipeline is public. You can go on our website and find it. You know, recently at the Farm Progress Show in Illinois, we announced that we've got pipeline advancements, two within our fertility group, three within our seeds and planting group, another one within the field insights group, and one within our weather science team that are really helping to drive that innovation forward. Plus, it comes with improved connectivity, improved equipment compatibility, and further improved data visualizations as well. Here's a bit of what's coming in 2018. So from a data connectivity perspective, we're looking to improve our compatibilities, data inbox and visualization. So again, getting all of that data in a world where the drive is not yet compatible, there's still a data inbox where you can easily upload into our system. We're also working on user experience enhancements. And so, you know, it's fun to be able to talk with software engineers and app developers to understand this piece of it as well. It's something that's completely new to me within the last year, but it's really, there's a real science that underlies this and the analytics that underlie who's clicking on what, what's being used by a grower, what's not, how are they using it, et cetera. And then the platform partnerships. And so we've got, you know, we've launched our partnerships with dealers to help dealers better bring all of the fields that we have and learn from that bigger aggregate of data than just at the field level. The soils with Veris Technology is launched. We've got a pilot study going with the Cirrus, Aerobotics, and Terra Avion. And then also enterprise management, just sort of managing all of this information in a way with Conservice. And so ultimately what we're focused on is creating new value to farmers, right? Whether it's from higher yields, lower inputs, in ideal worlds, it would be a combination of those two so that we can really drive that sustainable intensification and get towards those grand challenges that Harold so eloquently discussed a couple of talks ago. And so with that, I'd be happy to take any questions and you know, you can always visit our website. We're on the Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as well if you want more information. I'd be happy to take some questions. Thank you.
Any questions?
What did I do on time?
Yes, you're on time.
Great. Sure.
So what do you think would be the way that we need to go for small-scale farmers?
Sure. Yep, so the question was, which way should we go for smaller holder farmers in developing countries? And that's certainly something that we're working on as well. Right now, most of what I talked about is focused on you know, the Midwest U.S. We're working on expanding into Europe, South America. But we are also working on products that can help those smaller holder farmers as well. And it's a different set of challenges that they have, and I think it's probably a different set of products that are going to get there. But that's something that we're working on as well.
One more question? No one?
Okay.
Then thank you very
much. Thanks, Asim.